Faith. In the church, we talk a lot about faith, don't we? And I know about you, but as human beings, we struggle with faith, don't we? We struggle to trust. If you are a human being, if blood is pumping through your veins, faith doesn't always come easy. It's a struggle. If you've opened up your heart to God and you've sought after Him, He has probably revealed Himself to you at different points of your life. And when He's revealed Himself to you, that boosts your faith. That boosts your faith, that keeps you going down that path of wanting to serve Him and follow Him. But we forget. I don't know about you, but in my journey of faith with God, there are times when my faith is so strong and I'm doing really, really well. And there's times where along the journey where I forget His blessings, I forget the things that He's done in my life previously, and my faith is low. When we walk through the Bible, I've been taking you guys through a journey called the God story. We've starting at the beginning of Genesis and walking through, and we're still at the story of Abraham. A couple weeks ago, I started with this story of Abraham, which is really such a key story in the God story of the Bible. The story of Abraham is a story where God reaches out to one family, one person, one husband and wife, and He reveals Himself to them. They're living in a place called Babylon. In the ancient world, Babylon was known as being this incredibly ungodly place, a pagan place of many, many gods. And God speaks to Abraham, pulls him out of that place, and basically shows him that I want to be your only God. I know you've been raised with all these other gods, but I want to be your only God. I want to bless you. Abraham at the time was old. His wife is old. They can't have children. God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you kids. Abraham has a hard time believing it. His wife has a hard time believing it. He says, I want you to trust me in this. I'm going to give you land. They were nomads. They just wandered around with their flocks. But God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you children. And the whole purpose is that I want to bless you so that you can bless the nations. The world, the entire world is going to be blessed through you. And this journey of Abraham is one where he trusts God, but then he falls and he doesn't trust God. And then he trusts God again, and then he makes another mistake. And it's like a roller coaster. If you follow the story of Abraham, it's like a roller coaster. And the interesting thing is that it's so real because that is the human experience. A lot of people's walk of faith is like that. We have highs and we have lows, and it's so real in the Bible. Abraham has highs and he has lows, and he makes so many mistakes, and yet God is faithful. He's there to pick him back up, and he's there to say, I'm still with you. I'm still on this journey with you. I won't leave you. I'm going to take you to Genesis 16. There's a low point in Abraham's journey. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. If you're reading this and you're a little bit shocked by this, you should be. The Bible can be shocking, and these stories are meant to be shocking. This is not good. If you watch TV at all, this is like a bad episode of Sister Wives. It never turns out well. This doesn't turn out well. Even though this is shocking to us, and polygamy, you know, is still kind of practiced somewhat within our culture today in certain places like Utah, etc. This is still shocking, but for those in the ancient Near East, this wasn't shocking. This was actually normal. So I want to take you back 4,000 years ago. This is a 4,000-year-old story. In the ancient Near East, people couldn't have kids like some people can't have kids today. And when they couldn't have kids, sometimes they just went through life without kids. But if you were wealthy enough and you had servants or slaves or whatever, which was normal in the ancient Near East, what Abraham and Sarah did there was what was it kind of expected of you. Sarah saying, hey, I have this servant girl. Why don't you take her, make her your wife, and I will have children through her. The idea is that she can't give birth, but Hagar can give birth. I'm going to have kids through her. For us, in our modern day, it sounds disgusting. 4,000 years ago, this was normal. They are acting out something that would have been shown to them within their culture of that time. They're trying to enact God's promises in their own way and in their own strength. God says, I'm going to bless you with kids. I'm going to bless you with offspring. There are going to be so many, it's going to be like the stars in the sky, and it's not happening. So Abraham and Sarah are like, we got to help God in this. Maybe this is what we're supposed to do. I want you to notice something in the scripture, and this is something that sometimes people get tripped up when they read the Bible, is that God is not condoning this. Okay, so sometimes when we open up the Bible and we read these stories, we think it's in the Bible, this is telling me that this is okay. That's not what's happening. Oftentimes in the Bible shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly, and oftentimes it's describing to us what happened. It's not telling you what should happen. If you go all the way back to Genesis, God makes it very clear that he made man and woman to be married as one. He didn't include multiple women. It's just one man and one woman. But slowly through the Genesis story, you see humanity going their own way. And it said in scripture at the end of the book of Judges that they were doing what was ever right within their own eyes. Abraham and Sarah doing whatever is right within their own eyes. And so Abraham does. He takes Hagar. They do stuff together. She gets pregnant. And now you have two women in the house. One is pregnant, one isn't. What happens with two women in this situation? There's jealousy. Sarah is jealous of Hagar. Hagar is looking down at Sarah. There's drama all around. Sarah starts treating Hagar poorly, and Hagar runs away. Things aren't going well. There are no winners here. Abraham and Sarah are doing something outside of God's will. Things blow up on them. God didn't design family to be like this. There is a temptation for us to try much of life like this. This is outside of what is culturally norm for us, but humanity is still the same. We do things outside of the will of God that fits within our culture today. This is what's culturally acceptable. That must be okay. I'm going to do it. Instead of saying, God, what is your purpose? What are your plans? How is it that you want me to do things? And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. For Abraham and Sarah, they're like, we're really old. Things aren't working out, God. We got to do it our way now. And when we do things our way without asking God, God, how is it you want me to do with things? To be honest, we kind of mess things up. God wants to speak into our lives. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. So what happened to Hagar? What happened to Hagar? Our focus is on Abraham and Sarah, but what happens to Hagar? What happens that, you know what's interesting about this story is you don't get any sense necessarily that Hagar, when Sarah's like, hey, I want you to like marry my husband, have children, you don't get necessarily a sense that Hagar is like, yes, me, please, like I want to be a part of this. Did Hagar approve of this? Did she say, I want to be a part of this situation? You don't get this sense. She is in a situation where she has no choice. She's been put in a situation where she didn't maybe had an ability to say yes or no. And this is what it says in verse 7 of chapter 16. It says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. Now for us, we're sitting back and we're going, oh great, like the angel is just telling you you're going to have lots of kids. Do you know that for us in the modern day, we don't see children as a blessing like this anymore? I want to put you in the ancient world, children, for a woman to have children, that was like in the ancient world, through their mindset, that was the greatest blessing that they could ever have is to bear children. Sarah, who can't have kids, is seen within her culture like she is cursed of God. For someone who can have lots of kids, that is seen as a blessing. So the angel is coming to her and saying, you are going to have incredible descendants that you can't even count. The angel is saying here, man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. God is revealing himself and he says, you're going to name this kid Ishmael that you're going to have. It means God hears. I hear you. I hear you. Hagar, I hear you. I hear your cries of distress. I see your situation. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? In this situation, God is revealing himself to Hagar, the unknown mistress, the servant who gets pregnant, who had no choice in the situation. And God reveals himself to her. She runs away, and God goes, and he seeks after her. And he says to her, and he shows her, I'm the God who hears you, and I'm the God who sees you. Hagar has no family. She is on her own. Can I just say something in this story? Hagar is pregnant from a man she probably didn't love. Did she have a choice in the matter? No. I know this is going to be like sensitive within our culture today, but within our culture, we would come to a woman and say, do you want that baby or not? You have a choice. Because you are pregnant from a man you don't love through a situation you didn't choose. And I want to hear this story. That God sees this situation and he speaks into the heart of Hagar and says, this is a baby maybe you didn't even want. I don't know, but I want you to know that I want that baby. I want you to know that I'm going to bless that baby. That this baby is not a mistake. This baby is not a mistake.
child. No person is an accident. Nobody is. This child that was in the womb of Hagar was not a mistake. God's like, hey, I know it didn't work out the way you wanted it to be. This isn't the way I wanted it to be or anything like that. But I see you. I hear you. This child's going to be blessed. I'm going to take care of this child. Walk with me and trust me. It's beautiful. God is the one who sees our injustices. And he's there. Hagar and Abraham and Sarah, they really kind of messed things up and they went their own way and did things their own way. I want you to see in this story that God is not taking sides. He's not taking sides. He wants to bless Hagar. He wants to bless Ishmael. He wants to bless Sarah. He wants to bless Abraham. And Abraham and Sarah have messed up and they've gone their own way. And they've done something that is really, truly sad. And yet God still is with them. And he says, can I try things my way now? Can I try things my way? You know that God does that in our lives? It's like we go our own way and we mess things up and God's still there and he says, can I try things my way now? And he's just waiting for us to submit to him and saying, yes, Lord, I'm giving you the wheel. Like you take control. In Genesis 21, it says, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he promised. She became pregnant. She gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would, and Abraham named their son Isaac. God fulfills his promise in his timing. If you're still waiting on God and it seems so incredibly slow, it's not. You're just used to going through McDonald's and everything being fast. And I mean, Abraham, Sarah, they lived in a time where they didn't have McDonald's and they still thought God was slow. You know, God does things in his timing. And he's not rushed. He's not rushed by you. He's not rushed by me. He's not rushed by a culture. He's going to do things when he wants to. Genesis 21, verse 6 to 7 says, and Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who have said to Abraham that Sarah, who would say to Abraham and Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. Isaac's name is Laughter. I can only imagine what kind of laughter this would have produced. Two old people having a kid. Never thought it was going to happen. And it happens, and there's laughter of joy. There's laughter of relief. There's laughter of surprise. And I'm sure that God was laughing as well. He was laughing right along with them. He said, see, I was going to do things my own way. I was going to bless you. You guys just had to trust me. And God is not finished with shaping Abraham yet. I mean, God's been walking with Abraham for years and years and years and years, and God is not finished shaping Abraham yet. If you have been a Christian for decades and you think that God is done with you, he's not. If you think that you've learned everything you need to learn, you've read the Bible a million times, you haven't. You haven't learned everything that God wants to teach you. He's not finished shaping you. So God has this son. I mean, God. Abraham has this son. By the way, I didn't add in there. It's like if you're wondering, you're reading this, it goes from being named Abram to all of a sudden Abraham, and God changes his name, and there's a whole story in that, but we won't get into that. But we get to Genesis 22. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. I want to stop here on tested his faith. This word tested can mean a couple different things, right? It can mean that you take a test in school and it's pass or fail. But tested could also mean the idea of testing something through fire. In the ancient world, as of today, you take something that is impure, like a piece of rock that has gold in it, and you take it through the fire, and all the impurities are burnt off. It's tested through the fire so that something comes out on the other end, that gold comes out pure. God's going to take him through a test. I'm not so sure it's if it's a pass or fail test. When you read the story, could be. But I think there's another test that God's taking him through where he is purifying Abraham. And this is it. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, that's who I'm talking about. Whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Once again, if this is shocking, it should be. This is telling you what's happening here, and it seems ugly, and it doesn't make sense to us. Why would God ever ask somebody to sacrifice, which means kill, by the way, their own child? I mean, we don't even do animal sacrifice within our culture anymore. The idea of someone taking an animal and killing it and pouring out its blood seems so horrific. And now we're talking about a human sacrifice. Why would God ever ask this of him? Do you know that human sacrifice at the time of Abraham, 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, was common? It was normal. People sacrificed all sorts of things to please the gods. If you were to get what you needed, if your crops were to be healthy, if you were to receive rain, if you were to receive blessing in terms of your wife being able to go through childbirth without dying, you needed to give sacrifices to the gods you served. And sometimes the greatest sacrifice was a human being, your own child. You were needing to sacrifice to receive the blessing of the gods. And so God comes to him and says, I want you to do this, Abraham. For Abraham, it's incredibly horrific, but it makes sense to him because this is the culture that he has lived in. And as brutal as it seems, he just might go through with it. I'm going to read that. It says, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey, took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there and then we'll come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, we have the fire and the wood. The boy said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. What a smart kid, hey? He's like putting two and two together. You know, he's done the whole sacrificial thing before. He's like, I know we're going on a journey. We have the wood. We have the fire. We have everything we need, but we don't have the animal. And I don't know. It's like, is Abraham's faith in such a way that he knows that there's going to be something else, that God's going to provide a sheep? Or is he being coy? Is he like, I can't totally tell the kid because he's going to run away? What's happening here? When they arrived at the place where God told them to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, or some would say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Once again, God's revealing himself. He's showing himself to these people. I'm the God who hears, I'm the God who sees, and now I am the God who will provide. To this day, people still use the name as a proverb, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you've obeyed me and not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you've obeyed me. What is going on here? It's so crazy. God is revealing himself to Abraham in a way that just would blow his mind. Abraham, I know that you've grown up in this culture. I know it's normal for you to sacrifice your son, and I'm going to make you think that I'm going to do this to your son, but I am not that God. I'm not that God. I know this is the gods that you've grown up around. This is what you've been taught that God is like. But I want to show you something. I'm going to be the one who provides the sacrifice. All the way along, God is the one that says, I will provide. I will provide. This whole thing of like offering up his son, God is saying to man, I've poured out my blessing on you. I've given you a blessing. I've given you a son. Exactly what I promised. Are you going to worship the blessing? Or are you going to worship the blessing giver? Abraham, I want you to give back to me what I have given to you. And he tests him on that. Will Abraham be willing to give back to God what he was given? And when he does, God's like, now I know. Now I know you trust me. Now I know you trust me. God is not going to come to you and ask you to sacrifice your child. It doesn't make sense within our culture today. But he is going to come to you, and I want you to think of all the blessings he has given you, everything that you're thankful for. We talked about thankfulness today. Are you willing to give that back to God? Are you worshiping the blessing, or are you worshiping the blessing giver? Because God wants to bless you. He wants to pour out all sorts of blessings upon you. But he also asks us to give it back to him, not to hold on to it tightly. He wants to know that he is the center. God wanted to know that he was the center in Abraham's life. He was never going to allow Abraham to kill his son. God is going to come through all the way along. You know what else this story foreshadows? A God that once again, he was going to provide his own sacrifice. A God, our Heavenly Father, that was going to send his son Jesus down to earth. And ultimately, he was going to die on our behalf. Scriptures tell us that each one of us has sinned and gone our own way, and that results in our death. We're heading down a path of death, just like Abraham and Sarah is heading down a path of death with the things that they're doing. And the same God that revealed himself to Abraham that says, you're heading down a path of death, but I'm going to provide a way. He says that to us through Jesus. That we have headed down a path of death, but God in the flesh has come down to earth and he says, I am going to take the penalty of death on me. I will provide. I will provide. This same God that reveals himself to Abraham in the book of Genesis is the same God that reveals himself to us in the New Testament through the life of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So this Thanksgiving weekend, may we be thankful for the many things that he has given us, but may our greatest thanks be for the one who came in the flesh and provided for the forgiveness of our sins. John 3:16 says this, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Isaac was the only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is the greatest gift right there, guys. If whatever you're thankful for, that is the greatest gift. That you can have eternal life. Eternal life here in this world now and the life to come. That one day you will die and you are going to stand before your Maker. And when you stand before your Maker, all your sins are forgiven. You are white as snow. And he says, welcome. Welcome into my kingdom. May we be a people that not worship our gifts, but may we worship the one who provides our gifts. If you've never accepted that gift of forgiveness, of eternal life, of a relationship with God, may you accept that today. May you know that there is a God who has put his life on the line for you to have life. Won't you stand with me as we close in prayer? If that is you, I'd love to be able to give you a Bible. We have Bibles out at the connection booth there. Love to connect with you and pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, you are good. And today we read a story and went through a story very, very quickly of some things that are just so shocking, horrific. And yet you were there in the midst of that. You revealed yourself to Abraham, to Sarah, to Hagar. And you showed them that you are the God who sees, you are the God who hears, and you are the God who provides. And I pray today that you would reveal yourself to each person here in that way as well. I know that you want to. You are the same God today as you were back then. Lord, may we see you in that way. May we experience you in that way. And may we know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.